Rod's Pulse Podcast number 46, Podcasting 101 Second Edition, and Pod's 8th Music.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
This is Rod. Welcome back. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. This podcast was actually supposed to have been produced last week, but real life intervened, and sorry I had to wait until now. I usually play a little teaser of a song at the beginning of my podcast, but this time I decided to play the full song, which is used in my intro. It's a song called On a Podcast, and it's done by a group called Cruise Box. So stay tuned. I think you'll enjoy the song On a Podcast by a group called Cruise Box. Now, my main topic today is what I'm calling Podcasting 101. It's the second time I've done this. And at the beginning of the school year each year, I like to give sort of an overview of podcasting, hopefully to entice some faculty to start using podcasting to supplement their course content. So if you're new to my podcast, or if you want a refresher on what it's all about, listen on. If not, skip this one and come back for my next podcast. But before I get to the main topic, I'm going to give you some news from the podosphere. My first news item is reporting on some research that was recently published about the popularity of online universities rising. There was a survey done by the American Intercontinental University Online, and they said that half of a group of prospective college students who said they would be interested in taking an online course in the next 12 months also said they would like to enroll in a completely online degree program. The survey also showed that 32% of the respondents favored a degree program that was mostly online, but that included some campus-based courses. Only 10% said they wanted a program that was primarily on campus. 8% wanted half online, half on campus. In another survey by the Sloan Consortium, they said that by 2006, about 3.2 million college students were enrolled in at least one online course, up from 1.6 million in 2003. EduVentures, another education sector research firm, said that by next year, 1 in 10 college students will be enrolled in an online university. I also noted another news item which appeared saying that the e-learning market was to hit $52.6 billion by 2010. The article noted that e-learning is already quite popular in the enterprise area, but that it's advancing quite rapidly in K-12 and higher education. Apparently, already the U.S. e-learning market is about $17.5 billion, but it's going to rise quite a bit, looks like, by 2010. Europe and Japan lag e-learning adoption compared to the United States, which accounts for about 60% of the market, while Europe accounts for about 15% of the market. Interestingly, the e-learning market in Asia is expected to reach a compound annual growth of 25 to 30% through 2010, according to the firm that did this report. And they mentioned that a key driver for e-learning, of course, is an increased number of solutions and services that are available, that's for sure. But they also warned that lack of interoperability standards could stifle e-learning's growth. I'll be following, of course, the e-learning trends, and I want to pass this on to you. So it looks like e-learning is growing strong, and looks like it's the place to be. So, as always, I'll have links to the source material that I've been talking about in my podcast. So on my show notes, go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com, and you'll see all of the links. In my last news item today, I just wanted to mention that Blackboard has another grant, their so-called Greenhouse Grant, and this time it's for virtual worlds. It's a new grant program to foster education innovation in virtual worlds such as active worlds, something called THERE, and of course Second Life, which I've talked about many times. Blackboard is funding a single $25,000 grant for initiatives that promote the integration of virtual worlds into teaching and learning. So go to my show notes, see the link, and I want to bring this to your attention because the deadline is rapidly approaching. It's September 24th. So I would certainly like to hear about any proposals that you make, and I plan to follow up quite a bit on using virtual worlds such as Second Life in education, something I've been quite interested in for quite some time now. Now for the main section of my podcast today, Podcasting 101. One of the best places to start, by the way, is a great document put together by the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative, 7 Things You Should Know About Podcasting. Again, there's a link to that document on my show notes. And I also have a link to a concept map, sort of a diagram of how podcasts are put together. So let me just briefly go over some of the main issues you should know about podcasting, and then I'll give you a hint about how to dig deeper and go a little further if you want to do podcasting yourself, which I hope you do. Podcasting, of course, was a term inspired by the Apple's iPod, although I want to reiterate you really don't need to own an iPod in order to do podcasting or even to listen to podcasts. Now, a podcast refers to an audio file that's posted somewhere on the web that you can either listen to directly from the website, like you may be doing now, or you can download it to your iPod or portable MP3 player. Now, it's quite different from the old internet radio days. It's different in the way that podcasts are broadcast and published and transmitted. It uses something called RSS, which is real simple syndication. It's a way for you to subscribe, and by subscribe, I don't mean you have to pay for a subscription, but that you rely on an automated program which checks to see if there's any new episodes and downloads them to your computer or synchronizes that music file or sound file to your iPod or MP3 player. So with that in mind, who's doing it? A lot of amateurs like me, and more you're seeing the traditional news sources, and NPR was one of the first. I love to listen to their NPR's On the Media, which is a weekly program that I download and listen to. It really had its start in the blogging world. In fact, blogging was enabled by RSS as well, where you could subscribe to a text feed, so to speak, and some of those bloggers, after the RSS 2 came out that allowed an audio attachment, allowed them to record audio and allowed folks to subscribe to the audio program as well. And of course, podcasting, like many entertainment technologies, has found its way into education, and more schools are using podcasts to supplement education. Now, how does it work? You know, podcasting has been a unique innovation, partly because of its inherent simplicity and ease of use. There are many commercial services now that are free or almost free, or you can do it on your own if you want to follow my lead in putting together my podcast. And basically, if you have a well-equipped laptop computer with a microphone, you can record your content and publish it out to a service and create a podcast from it. So it's relatively simple and easy to do. And really, the only cost I've incurred is, besides the time involved, is a better microphone, which I spent about $150 on, and a piece of software called Cast Blaster. And I'll have links to all of this resource material in the show notes for this podcast. So why is podcasting significant? Well, the point is it allows education to become more portable than it's ever been before. It's not going to replace the classroom or the lecture, but it will provide teachers one more way to meet students where they live, on the internet and on their audio players. And of course, you can listen to audio when you're jogging, riding the bus, riding in your car, and so on. So it really makes it simple and affordable, much more portable way to learn, and will become much more mainstream, much like a video on demand recorder such as TiVo and Replay TV. So what are the downsides to podcasting? Of course, bandwidth is one of them. If you have a very popular podcast, you're going to need to pay for that service. If you work for a university, of course, you're a teacher, that can normally be covered by the university. And faculty who want to record their lectures may need some training, both in handling an audio-only medium and using the technology. So where's podcasting going? I think the sky's the limit. We're already seeing it used at schools like Jefferson, where the lectures are being captured, both the screen capture and the audio, and students can subscribe to the audio feed from their lectures in case they missed it or they want to review something the author, the lecturer said. So podcasting is evolving at quite a rapid rate. There are more and more directories and improved navigation and indexing. There are services that automatically transcribe the audio into text, so you can actually search the full text. In fact, I use that on my podcast. If you go to the top, you'll see a dialogue box where you can search for actually text that I spoke, and it will bring up the appropriate portion of the audio file where I spoke that particular word or phrase. And last, what are the implications for teaching and learning? Of course, students are already familiar with this kind of technology, and it broadens their educational options. They can listen to lectures and other course content if they miss class. Now, in my podcast number 22, which was last year about this time, it was titled Podcasting 101 and Implications for Healthcare, I go into a little bit more depth about some of the implications and using three scenarios for how a student and a faculty and a clinician might use podcasting. And if you go to Rod's Pulse podcast number 28, where I cover slide casting, you'll see a link to the online slides, my PowerPoint presentation converted to something called SlideShare. So what I'd like to do now is direct you to my show notes, where I have a list of some resources that would help you find podcasts and learn how to listen to them and what tools you might need and to actually produce podcasts. In terms of podcast directories, there's the ever-popular Apple iTunes. They have a section on podcasts. Now, you won't find everything there. Of course, I'm listed if you type in, do a search for Rod's Pulse Podcast. And you will find hundreds, if not thousands, of educational podcasts now. Yahoo also has a podcast directory, and there are many more. In terms of listening tools, there's a link to No iPod Required. Again, you don't need to have an iPod. In fact, about 60% of podcast listeners listen to a podcast directly from the website on their computer desktop computer screen. But if you want to move the podcast to an MP3 player, and you don't happen to have an iPod or want to use Apple iTunes, you can also use something called Juice, and this is a podcast receiver. It has its own built-in directory, and you can subscribe to podcasts and download them to your MP3 player. And in terms of MP3 players, I link you to my podcast number 30, where I reviewed some media players. I have a media player shopping guide. And then podcast tools. Right now, I'm using Audacity to record the main part of my podcast, and I put everything together using something called Cast Blaster. So I have links to both of those tools on my website. And as you know, I play music, so it's important to have pod-safe music. You don't want to violate any copyright arrangements and for commercial music. So I have links to podshow.com and also Magnatune, which are two sources I've used to find pod-safe music. Now, there are some institutional podcasting tools that you'd be interested in. Now, at Jefferson, we're using Appresso Classroom. Now, this is an automated system to capture the full lecture, including the slides, anything that's on the instructor's computer screen, and, of course, audio. Students can see the slides and hear the audio using a special website, or they can just subscribe to the audio feed and just listen to the audio using their iPod or MP3 player. Now, that's something to capture the lecture, but if you just want to supplement course material, you can use something like Learning Objects Podcast LX. This is a Blackboard building block that's been installed at Jefferson. I've covered both Learning Objects and Espresso in previous podcasts. You can tune to Rod's Pulse podcast number 27 to hear more about an Espresso classroom. I interviewed the chairman and founder, Jeff Allen. And I interviewed Hal Herzog, who's the vice president of product development for Learning Objects. That was on podcast number 26. Now, once you've produced your own audio feed, you need to publish it. And if your institution doesn't have a blog for you to use, you can use Blogger. It's a free service, again, owned by Google. That's what I'm using now to host my show notes. And then you need something to create the actual feed. I use FeedBurner, which was just bought by Google several months ago. And that's the service that checks to look to see if you have a new episode, a new blog, and it creates the feed. So that about does it for a quick Podcasting 101. I want to point you to my show notes where I have links to all of these things I've been talking about, including the podcasting concept map that I put together. And also to point out another feature of my show notes where I have my delicious tags. Now that's the social bookmarking service where I've bookmarked a lot of the web resources I use, and it's all indexed by tags on my show notes, and so you can quickly find information that relevant to podcasting, something that you may have heard of on my podcast. So that's my podcast for this week. I will get back to a more regular schedule. In fact, I have some very exciting news coming up on my next podcast. And stay tuned. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
Summer, when mainstream radio was such a freaking bummer. No indie music, nothing too funny. Clear channel radio, did it for the money. But somebody heard the call. Now you can have it all. I heard it on a podcast. Rocking freaking radio. You want it, you got it. Just download it. First computer, that piece of junk was like a freaking Roto-Rooter. Now we've got Wi-Fi, downloading files fast, listening to everyone who's ever done a podcast. It's history, now you see each and every nation. Radio has got to go, it's our emancipation. Play that song, sing along, mash it up and mix it. Radio is freaking buzzing. Yeah.
today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.